this one.
I just turned this one out, I think. I hope so.
What do you want?
They both have the same, they were both on the same levels.
Right. How well can you hear me on this mic? Can you hear me if I talk into the microphone? I need to talk louder. Is that? I mean, and how about this one? This one's louder. Okay. Right, this one's the louder mic. I don't know which one it is. I mean, it's the louder mic. Good afternoon. We'll be getting started in just a minute or two. I turned it up just a little bit on both the handhelds. You can't. Well, it's clearly broadcasting.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
This is going to be a live streamed thing, which is why we're trying to figure out the technical difficulties. So although you can hear us, the people who are joining us remotely may not be able to.
So yeah, I mean, it's on. Hello.
So that's going on to here. I mean, it's connected.
Which one don't we have? Which one do you want? Is that one okay? Testing 1, 2, 3. Do you have anything now?
Yes, and thank you for your patience as we still try to figure out this new technology of...
So we're still working out technical difficulties, but you have an opportunity to snack or talk to your neighbors, get to know your friends here.
You could also get on the General Assembly application and talk about how excited you are to be in this room right now.
We're not not getting. Yeah, we're not getting the audio out to the stream. That's beyond everything. But it's not. But it's not like the signal's just not getting to them. I think it's coming through the sound system. Yeah.
Enthusiasm about throwing things. This is great. Yeah. Our church isn't involved at all, but I'm really involved in Laramie with Laramie Local Food. And the parish thing.
For those just coming in, we still have some technical difficulties, so we're managing that at the moment. In the meantime, we have an action of immediate witness about a livable climate, and if you're a delegate for your congregation, if you'd sign this, it would be helpful for us as a faith to take action on climate change. And we also have some sign-up sheets if you are a young adult and want to join the Young Adult Network, or if you want to be actively engaged in what we're doing so you can share the word with young adults in your area, you can also sign up to get updates on what the UU Young Adults for Climate Justice Network is doing. And we do a lot, so you'll get a lot of updates. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming to our workshop today and for everyone who's attending virtually. It's very exciting to be here and to talk to you about young adult leadership and climate justice work that we're doing. So I hope we can have a very interactive conversation, and how we will start is more of just an introduction on who we are and the work that we're doing, and then we will get into more of a dialogue with you as an audience. So we're going to go down the line, so I'll check in second.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Franklin Craft Rendon. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I currently attend Woodlands Unitarian Universalist. I am a lay leader activist. I'm also part of Houstonians Against Tar Sands, which is a coalition group to do what that title implies, and a member of Tar Sands Blockade. And a member of tarsandsblockade.org, which is a direct action, nonviolent, horizontal collective that started with opposition to the construction of the southern leg of the Keystone XL pipeline. Oh, yes. And I also am a multiple-year member of Houston's Food Not Bombs, where we share food and prevent food from going into the waste system with vegan and vegetarian food only, 4 nights a week. And we've done that for 20 years, though I've only been with the group for about 5 years. Oh yes. And I'm part of a collective of an anti-white racism, anti-gentrification collective that also runs a free lending library that does radical books and free internet services, because it's really hard to access a lot of our pathetic social net, especially in Houston and Texas, if you don't also have an internet hub and a stable address. And so that's what I do with my time.
My name is Allie Tharp, and I am the network coordinator for the UU Young Adults for Climate Justice Network as of last September. And before then, I'm from Plano, Texas, which is a northern suburb of Dallas. And what I was doing before then was a lot of climate justice activism, but it was a little siloed from my faith. I didn't really do so much in connecting those two things until I got approached by Unitarians about it. And so it's exciting to merge these things together in my life and to do this work with other great young adults. So besides that, I was actually motivated to join the Tar Sands Blockade by Benjamin, and also have been involved in starting a group in Dallas. It was a coalition group, and our major campaigns were educating people about tar sands shipments through old pipelines underneath reservoirs that serve Dallas and Fort Worth area. So we did a lot of canvassing about that. And we also worked with a very popular nature and science museum that had a lot of fracking, what I term fracking propaganda, millions of dollars put into education about energy in a permanent exhibit that definitely downplayed environmental impacts or community concerns about the issue. And so, I did a lot of local organizing through that means.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Mount. I'm with the First Unitarian Society of Denver in Denver, Colorado. And I am a first-year seminarian, just completed my first year at Meadville Lombard. And in terms of climate justice, I wear many hats. I primarily work and have worked with Mountain Justice, which is an Appalachian organization that responds and is trying to shut down mountaintop removal coal mining specifically. We are now, because we have, to an extent, won that fight, we are moving into a broader opposition to extractive industries in the area and long-term sustainable economic development work. So that's an exciting new front for us. And we're interested to see what that organization is going to look like in the future. I also work some with Greenpeace. I got climb trained initially with Greenpeace for one of their actions, and I now work with Earth First as a co-trainer for climbing, which is to say training people how to safely blockade up in the air and off of bridges. It's a lot of fun. You should try it sometime. And in addition to that, I work and am a trainer as a street medic. And I go and help people with their health and safety and wellness at demonstrations and action camps. And finally, I've just started working with Islamic Relief, which doesn't right offhand sound like climate justice work, but what we are responding to is the increased number of natural disasters which are being caused by climate change. So I was recently in Houston after the flooding doing relief work there. That's an interesting intersection of climate response, which turns into immigration justice work and racial justice work as well. So those are some of the many things that I do.
So my name is Jennifer Nordstrom. I'm currently serving as the interim minister at Third Unitarian Church in Chicago, on the west side of Chicago. I am the founder of UU Young Adults for Climate Justice. And all of these folks are also core organizers with UU Young Adults for Climate Justice that are sitting up here. In terms of my climate justice work, prior to becoming a minister, I'm also a proud graduate of Star King School for the Ministry. Prior to becoming a minister, I worked as the campaign coordinator for a campaign called Carbon Free and Nuclear Free, a roadmap for a 100% renewable energy economy. And with that, I educated people on how the economic and technical realities are completely clear for us to move towards a 100% renewable energy system, and that what is blocking us is actually the political will to do that. I also was a core organizer with a young adult-led group called Think Outside the Bomb. We did environmental justice work that was focused on nuclear abolition. And with Think Outside the Bomb, the last action that we did before I went into seminary was we organized in New Mexico, just outside of Los Alamos National Labs, a direct action permaculture encampment where we combined teaching young adults how to do direct action to protest the building of a new plutonium pit production facility at Los Alamos with simultaneously building what we see as the alternative, which is sustainable ways of living in cooperative community.
And I'm Matthew McHale. I'm currently in Oakland, attend the Oakland UU Church. I'm a recently fellowshipped minister. And I am working with, working for UU Ministry for Earth, mostly supporting the UU Environmental Justice Collaboratory, which is this coalition or collaboratory of well over a dozen groups who are working together on environmental justice and climate justice and bringing that towards the heart of Unitarian Universalism. I'm also, like everyone else here, one of the core organizers with Young Adults for Climate Justice, and serve on the steering committee for Allies for Racial Equity. And back in the Bay Area, I'm involved with a group called Occupy the Farm, which is doing direct action farming, which is really exciting work.
So as Jennifer mentioned before, we are all we are all representatives and core organizers for the Unitarian Universalist Young Adults for Climate Justice Network, and that was motivated by a desire to grow and to sustain and to have multiple voices of leadership and a consensus process on what direction we want to move as an organization of passionate and very talented and skilled young adults, and also providing a structure for more people to come into leadership and create a broader community. So it's an ongoing process, and we were founded in 2012 with very generous support from the UU Ministry for Earth, which is still, their board is very supportive of our work, and also our fiscal sponsors in kind of umbrella organization in a sense. And then we also were funded with the UU funding program. So I wanted to just, you know, mention that as a seed that helped us get where we are right now. And currently we are also still operating based off of grant funding and looking to more ways that we can continue to grow and have a budget with which to do awesome transformative work.
Our mission with UU Young Adults for Climate Justice is to grow a diverse network of Unitarian Universalist young adult activists who are grounded in our faith as Unitarian Universalists and who are supported by each other and by the Unitarian Universalist community at large, and that will work together for climate justice. So grounded in faith, supported by each other and the whole UU community working for climate justice. That's what we're here to do.
And our vision, our broader vision, is that our individual and collective actions will catalyze the movement for a socially just, resilient, and sustainable future. we want this to be beyond UUism. We start here and we affect the world.
So currently our work we've got a lot of different things moving in motion at the same time. One thing that we're doing is getting more involved in interfaith dialogues about climate justice, and what with the recent Pope's encyclical about climate change and the need for action and the faith moral need to respond. It's a very exciting time for interfaith conversations. So in July, I'm going to Hyde Park, New York to participate in a teach-in of a Religions for Peace Youth Network, which is a multi-issue network, but this specific workshop is about climate justice and environmental issues. And then at that workshop, I think we'll be doing a lot of skill sharing and conversations and teaching each other, and then a few people will be chosen to represent Religions for Peace in the Paris climate talks in December. So I'm excited to go to that and hope that I can represent not just Religions for Peace, but the UU Association and our network as well, but that's all a pipe dream until it happens.
So UU Young Adults for Climate Justice is both a member of the Environmental Justice Collaboratory that Matthew was talking about, and we're also participating in Commit to Respond, which is the UUA UU Service Committee collaborative campaign that also involves 9 other organizations. So we're on that steering committee. And the part that we're particularly interested in is the GROW portion of the 3 pillars of Commit to Respond, so grow the movement for climate justice. So what we want to do is build the movement. As young adults, as the UU Young Adults for Climate Justice, we're particularly focused on building young adults into the movement, but we're focused on growing the movement. And so one piece of that is that in August of this year, August 7th through the 11th in Chicago, we're holding a training for for young adults. It's going to be grounded in Unitarian Universalist faith, but there will be non-UU young adults who will be attending that training. And that training will be focused on how we can organize from a grounded and centered place in our spirituality in a way that feeds our willingness and ability to take action in the world. So there'll be training tools that will help us take those actions, like the very specific logistical how we do it, but we're also going to have worship every day, because if we're disconnected from the source, from the reason that we do this work, we get exhausted, we burn out, we stop doing it. So we're trying to make sure that our organizers are both resisting the systems of oppression that we're all experiencing, but also that we are able to be resilient in our communities with one another through being grounded in our faith and supported by one another.
Just a few more words on that. The program, to find out more about it, you would go to www.uucsj.org/grow, and that UUCSJ stands for the UU College of Social Justice, which is doing a lot of the organizing work and logistical work to make that conference happen. And this is ideally a pilot for future trainings of similar quality or even greater quality. So applications are still being accepted until July 5th. So if you have someone who's bridging into young adulthood or already a young adult who would be interested, there is still a chance for them to apply for a little while until July 5th. So I wanted to say those things.
And I think it's important to add that the conference that the UU College for Social Justice has really worked to make it as affordable as possible. So what it's $200 flat. That includes the training and food and room and all that. And there's also ability to there's some funds to help subsidize travel to Chicago if that's an issue. So the goal is to make it as accessible as possible. So I think it's a really, really great opportunity, and we're really excited to be going. And one of the things we're doing, you know, more decentralized, or you know, around the country or around the continent, are continuing to present workshops. So we've done some workshops at regional and continental gatherings. Obviously, we've got something going on here, but we've also had gatherings of young adults. I went to the first one in the San Francisco Bay Area. We've done stuff at the young adult at Opus, which is the Young Adult Spirituality Retreat. And so would love to have that opportunity to connect with and, you know, help build a group of young adults, maybe around a specific regional geographic area that can take collective action together. And so that's something we'd love to see more of, is supporting young adults in an area to really come together if there's a specific campaign or an issue that they want to come together to work on.
And then another campaign that we're working on is the 100 Services campaign, which is to have young adults give a total, or hopefully even more than 100 services about climate justice and climate chaos and their response to it, how it's rooted in their UU identity and in their faith. And this has multiple great reasons. You know, it's always good for us to encourage this and, you know, and doing this work and how we express our values. But also it helps build young adult leadership, you know, which is definitely why what we're aiming for. It grows awareness of the issue and of community, because when people are sharing these personal stories, that's what helps make the connection, that helps build power. And then it begins the cultural shift that's necessary both in our personal lives and in our congregations and our faith at large to actually address this serious concern and to do all the work and sacrifice that's going to be necessary.
We were motivated to create the 100 Services campaign by Commit to Respond, which is a collaboration that we've joined with 8 other Unitarian Universalist organizations to address climate issues and the intersectionality of issues that are all impacted by climate change in order to seek a just future. And we wanted to present something where young adults could take leadership in that. And so it's more than just what we as a network are doing. It's also what you can do is to invite young adults in your area to speak at your congregations. And then on our website, uuiacj.org, there's a tab that says 100 Services. And that actually will take you to the Ministry for Earth website, where we've got resources and we have a map of all the services that have already happened and where we will put the future services and links to videos and to audio clips. And so it will become a place where even if you didn't hear it in person, you might still hear a story from a young adult that would impact you. And so it's a storytelling collaboration that is a part of Commit to Respond.
So when we talk about climate justice, that seems like a very big set of words, maybe an unspecific one. So what we mean by climate justice is more than just a climate response by and for us. We're talking about climate as it affects not only human communities, but animal and plant communities, the planet itself, and then who is most affected and how can we be in solidarity? So with plants, with animals who do not have any way to speak for themselves in our political and social processes, but also identifying that climate justice means racial justice. It means realizing that much of the effects of climate change, of climate chaos, are being offloaded onto people who have been historically colonized. They're parts of the world, parts of even the United States, which are historically and currently populated by people who are poor, people who are indigenous, people who have historically been marginalized. So when we're talking about climate justice, we mean something that is bigger than just a congregational response. We mean changing the economics and the social structures of the world. We also mean doing the little things. It starts there.
So when we talk about young adult leadership, building young adult leadership, empowering young adults, I want to identify that there's a difference between empowerment and tokenization. So it's an important difference, and I think that tokenization comes from a place of wanting connection, so we can acknowledge that right now, that there is a desire for connection, but the experience of tokenization from somebody who's on the receiving end of it is it feels like it's an objectification. Like in the desire for connection, I feel like I've become an object that the other person can acquire. And that's a lot different than a genuine connection that feels equal and feels like my personhood is respected as well as the person who's desiring the connection with me. And this can come across in a variety of different ways. So I recognize that there's the desire for connection that's motivating both sorts of interactions, but in a tokenizing interaction, it comes across as a sort of, in a congregational setting, young adults will oftentimes hear at coffee hour, oh my God, we need more young adults here. Like, we so need you. We need you to be here with us. Which, you know, is coming from a place of desire for connection, and I understand that, but it feels like I'm something that you can get, like you can acquire me, rather than a different framework, which is empowerment, which is, wow, hi, welcome, why are you here? What do you want? What are you coming here for? Which is a different framework than we want young adults because XYZ, therefore we want you, no matter who you are, because you're a young adult. So there's a difference between empowerment and tokenization, and it's related to another piece, which is about assimilation. So there are differences that are cultural differences, and those differences are across generations. They also are across a variety of other identifiers. They're across sexualities and races and ethnicities and classes. And in an assimilation framework, you are welcome if you assimilate to the culture that you're joining. So in a young adult version of that reality, a young adult is welcome to join the congregation or the organization or the community if they choose to assimilate to the culture that's already there. So you're very, very welcome, particularly because you're a young adult, and that's exciting, if you do things all, you know, the ways that we do them here all the time. And that's a different experience than a real welcome, which is again about how are you interested in doing things? What is your desire for being here, and what is your way of being and doing in the world that we might collaborate on or experience together? And the third piece that I want to comment about in terms of the difference between empowerment and tokenization is about stereotypes versus generalizations. So stereotypes are, you know, a young adult stereotype might be that young adults like to party. We are party animals. We stay up late at night and we party, party, party. Now, in the framework of a generalization, that may in fact be generally true. It may be generally true that younger people stay up later and have more energy and are more likely to go to parties. But a stereotype doesn't have room for the exceptions to that generality. A stereotype is, this is true across the board for all young adults, they all do it all the time, you know, and then there's no room for the times when that's not true. A generalization is the recognition of a pattern. But you can't assume by approaching a young adult and interacting with them on a, you know, by looking at them, by seeing them, that the generalization is true for that one particular young adult. And the last thing that I want to say about young adults, and then I'm going to open it up because I think that probably some of our stories are more interesting than these overarching narratives, is that a generalization of young adults is that we tend to be more mission-driven than meeting-driven or than by experiencing tokenization. So when I say mission-driven, what I mean is that, and I'm 34, so I'm just making the cut here of young adults. So I'm gonna have to stop speaking about it, you know, in about a week. But I get a grace year apparently. Great. I just am in the millennial category. Is that millennials tend to be very conscious of being tokenized or being sold. Because of the way that technology has been a part of our lives for all our lives, we're very aware of being sold things all the time. So, you know, if somebody wants to acquire us or sell us something, it's not particularly attractive. But we are attracted to creating a better world. We are attracted to the mission-driven church, to the mission-driven organization. We're drawn to the sort of shiny vision of a better world and taking real action to make that happen. And I think that this particular collection of young adults up here is, airs in that direction pretty strongly, given the list of our credentials that we gave you at the beginning here. We have all spent a lot of our time and energy doing mission-driven work, but especially in our generation, I see that all the time. We have a lot of energy to spend on creating a better world and creating a just society. And so it's interesting to me that in Unitarian Universalist churches, we often have conversations about where are all the young adults and what in God's name are they doing, because they're not in our churches. But we are in the streets. And we are doing the work. So what does that mean? And on this side of the table, you have three people who are either in ministry now or on their way to ministry. So we're deeply grounded in our Unitarian Universalist faith. And a lot of the young adults that I know and love who are doing the work of climate justice were raised Unitarian Universalists, still identify as Unitarian Universalists, Universalists, but they're not in our churches. So one of the things that we're doing as UU Young Adults for Climate Justice is we're saying, how can we organize, grounded in our Unitarian Universalist faith, to create climate justice? So I'm curious whether anyone else on this panel wants to talk a little bit about their story of how their grounding in Unitarian Universalism and Unitarian Universalist faith intersects with their work in the world and what that looks like. How are you mission-driven?
I guess I can tell sort of a funny story to kick this off. So I did an action with Greenpeace. We stopped a coal train for several hours in North Carolina. We had a team of six individuals, two lofted in tripods. We climbed up and hung a banner, and four people locked down to the train tracks themselves in order to stop the train and apply messaging to that. And fun thing, after we had been removed from the tripods and arrested, you can't talk about your action in jail, and that's usually the thing you know about activists you've just met and decided to do an action with, is that we're both here for this action. But you can't talk about that, so what do you do? And I was like, I know some songs. I only know songs from the UU hymnal. And this woman went, "You're Unitarian? So am I." And we talked about her children who are being raised in the UU church, who are really into Unitarian Universalism, and how the close reading of our seventh principle and knowing that we are responsible for respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part is truly something that grounds us in environmental organizing and means that as Unitarian Universalists, we do not have the option to ignore this issue. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we sang a lot.
I wanted to mention two things that were really impactful for me, and one of them is a shout out to the UU United Nations office. And I'm looking at Camila Jacobs over here, who's an awesome young adult that worked there for a long time, empowering youth and other adults and young adults to be envoys for the work that UUs do internationally with the United Nations. And so one of the first things that I did that was activism and UUism was volunteering to do creative programming for their intergenerational seminars that they have every spring. And that was involved in international women's issues. And then I also helped out with one that was about the sacred roots and indigenous rights, reclamation and restoration. And that was very grounding work. And also I think they do a really great job of empowering youth, empowering young adults, and creating intergenerational dialogue. So that's something that, you know, grounded me and also is a way that there's a lot of climate work being done with the UU United Nations office and young adults who work in their office on that issue. So shout out to the UU United Nations office. And then the second thing is that I really appreciate being invited to speak at congregations. And that's something where if there, you know, if I was involved with the tar sands blockade, and so I was able to give teach-ins after hours, but also sermons about that. And then also about plastic pollution in the ocean, which is something I did some activist work on in the past. So that's something that relates to what we as a network are doing, and you know, and it rings true for something that helped connect my spirituality and my community of UUism with this important work as an organizer.
So, being in the San Francisco Bay Area and Oakland, it's probably the most politically radical place in the country as far as like a geographical area, which I must say is an incredible blessing as an opportunity to be able to do work in that space. Also, there's so much work. It's like, which one do I plug into? It's a overabundance, which is its own blessing and curse in its own way. So as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I've been really active with is this group called Occupy the Farm, which is direct action farming. We actually took over a piece of land that was planning to be developed. It was historic farmland owned by the University of California, Berkeley, and took it over, planted it, turned it into an urban farm that was like open to the community. And so it's an ongoing battle and it's a complicated story. But you know, I'm working, and this is, you know, not necessarily directly connected to my Unitarian Universalist community, although people, you know, there are other UUs who've joined me out there and have participated. But the group of people I've been working with who are mostly young people are out there like interested and like excited about it, because what we're doing is we're not talking about what we want. We're not envisioning what we want. We're creating the future we want to see. And so, you know, so on one hand, it's a protest. You know, we're protesting the planned development, but we literally went on and planted a farm, a 2-acre farm, on this land as a way of protesting and creating the future we want to see. And I think that that's something that really interests so many young adults, not just Unitarian Universalist young adults, is like, what is this future? You know, we see that this current system, this current socioeconomic political system is not working for us. It's taking us down the path of destruction. And so what are the alternatives? Where can we put our energy to start modeling the different things we want to see in the world? And so from another way that shows up, I live in a co-op community, so you know, there's 8 of us who live in a house together, and there's a whole big like co-housing movement, which is where you have your own unit but share like a community space, maybe a kitchen, this very intentional community. And people are interested in this because they realize that we actually need to rebuild our sense of community together. And so there's so much energy, there's so much excitement, and so much experimentation going on in the Bay Area, trying to figure out what the future is we want to create, what the future is that already exists, because it's already happening. Small communities are doing it, and other people are picking it up and spreading it out. Permaculture is another great example that's spreading. And so what I want to see as someone who's just entering into ministry is I want to see our congregation starting to live into that vision. That our congregations can be, you know, as a place that already has, we're already a community of connected people. We're already a community of deeply people who are deeply passionate about social justice and environmental justice. And we have the theology to ground it. We have the theology that grounds it and can do what Jennifer was talking about not, or I think it was Jennifer, was talking about making sure we're not burning out when we do this work. And so we have all these things to offer, and I think that our congregations are a tremendous opportunity to help create that. And so during my internship, one of the things that I worked on, so I've at the Oakland Church, I'm a member of the Earth Justice Associates. I'm 32, I'm the youngest person in the group. We kind of restarted a green sanctuary at West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church outside Cleveland, Ohio. Again, like Green Sanctuary Committee, which I helped restart, was mostly older people. Yet when we did action, so like when we started to make plans to create a food forest on the campus and plant that, and we had a work day, that's when the young adults showed up, because we weren't just talking about it, we were actually like doing something. And so same thing in Oakland, like, you know, I'm, like I said, the youngest person on the Earth Justice Associates thing, and a lot of what we do there is talk, and yet there are a couple young adults who just decided that they wanted to create a work day to plant this area, this neglected area of the church, and do some drought-tolerant landscaping. So they organized the work party, and they came up with all the plant lists and decided where they were going to be planting, because that was what excited them, is taking action. And so I think that that's something that we really need. You know, we as Unitarian Universalists love to think and to talk and study and explore, and I'll say that I do too, and I also love meetings, but that's not the case for many young adults. I'm sure that's actually not the case for many of you as well. So I don't just want to assume it's young adults. So I just want to offer that out there, that like, let's move towards action. And if you do things that are exciting and create space that those two young adults could come and say, we want to create a drought-tolerant landscape, and the congregational leaders said, yes, awesome, how can we support you? That's the response. Amen. That's the response we need in our congregations, to like empower and support and say, how can we support you? How can we add to this, and not go, well, let's take it to the Buildings and Grounds Committee and let it sit in committee for 6 months.
So now's a great time for us to have more of a dialogue. We've got just about 30 minutes left. We started late, so let's end late too. But I wanted to ask, what has worked for you? And if you can and are able to come up to this microphone and share, and then how are we going to hear from people who want to share virtually? Oh, okay, yeah. So they asked if people commenting.
Either one's fine.
Either one. You can go to this microphone right here. You can come up here and just share with us what has worked for you.
Okay. I'm a member of the previous generation or two. And I had a wonderful experience with the Village Building Convergence here in Portland. This is a activity that involves building small cob benches and painting intersections, very hands-on kind of action-oriented stuff. And I found myself trying to plan and trying to coordinate with the city. And I found myself marginalized. And I was trying to be a mentor, trying to explain how to do these things, because I have an activist background that goes way back when. And what I found was that there is this hands-on activity kind of thing going on, and they're not going to do it the same way I was going to do it. And for me to get in there and just help and not worry so much about how it's going to get done, as to just be involved in getting it done, And then when I get tired of it, move on and get out of the way. I will also say that was the point, it was several years ago, that I really understood that this future is in good hands, because there was just this wonderful energy that was almost religious, and it wasn't Unitarian, but it was just that energy of can do and get it done, and we're changing the world.
Hello, my name's James from San Diego, First Church San Diego. And we've just recently started a climate justice group, and so I'm really interested in you know, how we can. Thank you, Jennifer. That was such a great talk. I learned a lot. How we can collaborate with our young adults. And in March, the UUSC offered a training nationwide for climate advocacy, and so we put it out, and our congregation sponsored two young adults to go. And so, it was fantastic. And so since then, one of those young adults is now a trustee on the board. So, and I'm really looking for ideas how to grow and how to engage the young people. So thank you.
So obviously I'm a tech usher, but I'm also a wildlife tracker and a wilderness educator. I have a sort of a nominal leadership role in the young adult congregation, the First Unitarian in Portland. What I've learned to do, because I'm an activist in several capacities, is to model a relationship with nature, simply in an everyday kind of way, to ask questions and to model the fact that I care about plants, that I care about animals, that I care about food, and just make it a part of everyday interaction. And I honestly think that comes from having an awareness that it's not a passive reality to exist with nature. It's a reality that it's a three-dimensional, it is the real world. It's probably the strongest way that I can put it. And honestly, it just comes from having passion, curiosity, interest, and a background of wanting to share experience and connect with common experience. So for example, I've gone on hikes with people, and I don't lecture, I don't tell people what to do. I literally wait for people to get interested and curious, and then we have conversations about what's going on. And my only goal is to create awareness. And I find that there's just not a lot of space for that, because sometimes the voices that speak the loudest are the ones that are looking for power.
Hi, I've been an environmental activist and now climate activist a very long time. But two things I want to talk about. One is I did a training in 2013 with the Climate Reality Project, that's Al Gore's group, and that was really multi-generational. It was really inspirational. The training I went to was in Chicago, and there were about 1,400 people, and they were from all over the country, all over the world, all ages. So that was really heartening. The other thing is I live in New York City, and I was involved in helping to organize just within the UU community there, the People's Climate March. And that was another example of not only intergenerational, but interfaith, inter-everything. You know, there were parents and grandparents and labor and you name it. And I chose to work within the faith community, and again, all ages. And we took up an entire city block in Manhattan. There were 10,000 people, and there was everything from evangelical Christians to atheists and everything in between. So it definitely can be done without making anyone a token. I mean, we're all in this together, so I know we can do it.
UUs were also the biggest group in the faith contingent. We were like 1,500 out of 10,000, which was... The sea of yellow shirts was totally awesome.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Camila. I have a lot to say. No one's behind me, so I'm going to go for it. First of all, come on up. Firstly, thanks, y'all, for having this panel. Like, this is great. I'm just really feeling good and happy and empowered and inspired, and good feels are happening. What works? Rooting this work in faith. And I think not just the seventh principle is what you were talking about also. Climate justice is about the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It's about, we have seven principles, and this is across all of them. So it's not just about how do we maintain each principle, it's how are we out living out our UU values, and that's what can happen through this climate justice work. Also, I think this is not just a UU thing, right? It's not just up to UUs to like do climate justice, and we can really engage with other groups that are already doing this work, who already have skills and resources and all of this, and it doesn't have to all come from us to make it a unique thing. It's rooted, we're rooted in our faith, and therefore it is a unique thing for us to do, and I think we can take pride in that. And I'm very adamant about fighting against this kind of individualism, like just us is doing this work and just my congregation is doing this or just my committee can work on this, because it's all of our responsibility, as you said. And also nothing's gonna change unless we all do it together, right? So that. Also what works, gonna try something this year, a family service day, and calling it that. Or maybe that's not the right terminology, but just something that's not like youth service day or children's service day or adult service day. Just like, let's all do service work together. Surrounding that, you spend like 2 weeks talking about why you're gonna do it, and then that third week, you do it. Or 3 weeks talking about why you're gonna do something, and then that fourth week, you do it. And that was really inspiring to hear that, like, let's just do the work. And also someone was talking about this, just going and doing the thing. And I think it is hard. I love talking about stuff, and I will do it for like weeks and weeks. And then finally, I'm just like, something is missing, and I don't really know what it is. I just like feel like there's more I could do. And it's like, oh yeah, I could do. Yeah. Finally, commit to respond. I'm loving this. When I was at the UN office, I was really involved with organizing, commit to respond, and programmatic things and all of this. And one of the things that was happening is I was like, really, like, what is it? Like, what are we really doing? Like, what's the point here? And the biggest thing I got out of that is that it's not, commit to respond is not like find a committee to be the commit to respond committee. Green Sanctuary will focus on commit to respond actions and tell us what to do. This is a calling for every member of the congregation, every person who goes to the congregation to say, I am called to do this work through my faith. This is rooted in my faith. Talk about how it's rooted in our faith, because a lot of work, I think, that's frustrating, and maybe it's as a born and raised UU, maybe it's my experience growing up in New York City or whatever. I can tell when people, I sometimes feel isolated or feel tokenized or have these not so great feelings when I say, we need to take action, and someone says, well, you can do that because, well, you're a young person, you have the energy to do it. And I say, I have the energy because I'm in this community with you, and I'm driven by my faith, and if you need energy, I will share mine with you, and I will accommodate you, and we just have to do this together because we're talking about change, and the only way to make it happen is to do it together. Done.
So I'd like to talk a little bit more about worship just for a second, as one of the tools that we can use to ground ourselves in our faith and to be a reservoir of that energy and that excitement for continuing this work. And I think that as Unitarian Universalists, sometimes we get a little nervous about having our faith life and our activism collide, even though a lot of us, our activism is inspired by our faith life. And so as a new minister at my congregation, when I started lighting a chalice at the beginning of meetings and doing a reading, this was shocking. It was a shocking thing to do because we were there to just do the work or to just have the meeting. But what I was trying to signal is that our work is grounded in our faith and that this work that we're doing is sacred and this is sacred time. And I think that it could be more than just me lighting a candle and doing a reading, but we can start small, right? But the worship is the place that we fill up our cups. It is the way that we reconnect with that source of all life, the source of our own motivation, the way for us to go on. And so I'm going to use this opportunity to sell you on something. How do you feel about that? we're having an intergenerational worship tomorrow. Saturday. I've lost track of my days already. Saturday at 1:15, and it would be great for you all to join us. It's going to be a very spirit-driven, heartfelt, music-heavy worship experience. So we'd love to have you come.
Do you want to say it and I can repeat it into this mic?
So many options.
Let's just do one. Okay.
You're good. So it looks like a computer, but there's actually 38 people participating.
Wow.
And there's been a very active and engaged dialogue with a lot of curiosity, a lot of respect, and a lot of empowerment focus. The question is, it's from Anne. She wants to know how it would be more beneficial to have more folks who are, she says, more folks with gray hair show up. But the way she has framed the question is, how do you envision leveraging a multi-generational approach to do this work? A big question, obviously.
So that's awesome. That was just what was coming up for me after Camilla talked, because so there are two parts to this. As young adults, we are going out into the world to do action, and we want your support. We also want to know what is helpful that will bring you along. So something we did, I've been doing racial justice work as well recently with Black Lives Matter, and we've been asked to be in solidarity with some of the die-ins after Michael Brown was murdered. And one thing that we did when we had a die-in in a local mall, we saved space on chairs and couches around that area for people who needed a more gentle place to sit or lie during that act of protest. We think it is beneficial to have support in terms of leveraging what privilege you do have, if that's monetary, if you are retired and have extra time and would like to write letters to the editor. If you read the newspaper, a lot of us don't read physical newspapers a lot. We tend to be more technologically connected. If you read the newspaper and you see that there is inaccurate or exceptionally negatively biased editorial coverage of activism, be those people who write the letters to the editor and say, "The youth are not out of control. We are responding appropriately to systems which are out of control." Those are things you can do that are supportive and really helpful. Also, if you need to know where the march ends so that you can meet us there with mobility assistance, we are happy to make that accommodation. If you don't yell well in public anymore, that's okay. Come and be a silent witness. Bring your body and your presence.
Thank you. Okay, I have a few things, and one of them is about the Unitarian Universalists specifically, the relationship between young adults, youth, and then the general congregations and that part of what was mentioned before is that you don't want to, tokenizing often comes from not having real relationships. And so the fact that youth are often very isolated from congregations means, and this is speaking from my experience, going in after bridging into young adulthood, everyone knew me because I was supposed to give little sermonettes and talk to people about, you know, my youth and being in the youth group and everything. So they knew my face and I didn't know them at all. And it was so awkward. And I think that building stronger relationships through better intergenerational community would really help us in the next 5 years to create the kind of change in order to move along together in this kind of work. And I also think that there are a lot of stories from activists who have been engaged in a long time, and that in order, you know, to get us listening to each other and inspired by each other's experiences, we need to sit together and talk. So that's something that I would really like to see more of in the future. I also, speaking outside of specifically Unitarian Universalism, coming from North Texas, it was very big news and exciting news to me that there was a 92-year-old woman who took civil disobedience against fracking in Denton after the state had overruled a local city's ability to regulate industry. And that was the number one story on Facebook for a day. And so actually, as elders, you have this leverage in, like, people pay attention when a 92-year-old woman gets arrested, or even a grandmother, or a grandfather. You know, there's power to that. And also, it's really inspiring to us when that happens. Lastly, Benjamin and I were involved in blockading the Keystone XL Southern segment in Texas. And we had a church in Nacogdoches where we had kind of moved our camp from northeast Texas to mid-east, southeast Texas. And there was a Baptist church called Austin Heights that had been praying for a young adult ministry. And then all of these people just parachuted in from all across the country to blockade this pipeline. And we were living out in the woods and cooking in a school bus, and we didn't have running water, we didn't have enough wood, we didn't have showers, we didn't have anything. And so they opened their houses to us, their bathrooms and showers to us, their church to us every single Sunday, and had a potluck after church. And a lot of people were not religious whatsoever, but Austin Heights members spoke about how they were inspired from a place of faith, and it created just really life-changing community. And one member of our blockade got married and is now living in Nacogdoches. So that's just, you know, and also the power of potlucks and food. I wouldn't be a Unitarian Universalist if my grandmother's church hadn't offered me carrot cake the first time I came. So just saying, that is a great way to get people sitting down at tables together.
I have two questions. One is, can we get a commitment to have an intergenerational training session at GA next year, and maybe something even in between? That's the first question. And the second question is, I was lucky enough to represent, be one of the two people from our church who got solar panels up and helped with a lot of other green things that were going on campus. To receive an honorable mention, one of 12 awards from California Interfaith Power and Light this last year. And there were more than one Unitarian Universalist church out of the 12 awards. And I'm wondering if you're, one of your planting things was one of the church that got the award for that.
I don't think so.
There is a UU church in your area, either in Berkeley or Oakland, right? In that general area that won an award for creating a community garden on their church site. and they did it as an educational and an ecological experience, and they gave all the food to poor people in the area. And if your church isn't involved in Interfaith Power and Light, there are at least 30 states have various things. And the interfaith effort is where it's really at. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're opening some of this training to people who aren't just Unitarian Universalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing moving forward.
You.
Can you speak really quickly about what kind of training you would be interested in?
Working together on these issues. One of our churches in San Diego recently at Summit did a march recently on the Black Lives Matter, and we all wore our gold shirts. And it was impromptu with less than 75 people, so we didn't need any permits. But we had a couple people in wheelchairs, and we had some young people, and we had people in strollers. So it was intergenerational.
And that would be the focus, is intergenerational.
But, yeah, I mean, that was just a single one-shot little action, you know. But help in planning and brainstorming activities that can be multi-generational. We do need young people, because many of our organizations and our churches are aging out and dying off. And certainly I can speak for myself, you know, I've been working on environment things since I was 21, and I'm now 71, so I'm tired. I'm physically tired. Mentally, I still have, this idea, but I don't have to carry on.
I'm so sorry, but we are very short on time.
Right, but the training on how the younger people can use some of the things that the older people have learned, how the older people can support the new people with the younger people with their energy and their ideas of what they want to work on, that working together is still not happening very well, and we need help learning how to do it.
I think that's great, and we have, you know, Commit to Respond has done, you know, we had our Climate Justice Month this first year, and are going to be doing that again next year, but there's also all these working groups that are starting up, one of which is an activist team or an activist network, and so I think that's a really good thing to think about as we figure out, like, what that network, what kind of services and support that's going to give. So it's 2 minutes until our workshop is over. I'd at least like to hear the first, and I'd really hate to make anyone sit down, but if you could be quick.
Yeah. Is
great.
The tech team fine with that, to take these last three questions? Great.
So if you
Thanks.
Could just be brief, all the three of you, that'd be great.
Joel Batterman, First UU Detroit. I'm curious, as someone who wasn't raised UU, what do you think has been most helpful for those of you who were raised UU in you know, motivating you and preparing you to do the work that you're doing now? And how can we sustain and grow that in our congregations? Thanks.
Let's hear the other two questions and then take it, because that's an amazing question. I wished you had asked it 10 minutes earlier. But go ahead and let's hear the next two questions.
Sorry, I need another 10 minutes to compose myself. I'm Charlie Wilson, and I've retired from doing analytical stuff in industry and divinity studies. On the subject of interfaith, I want to kind of throw an idea out at you in case you hadn't considered it this way. But as you use, you have a freedom, a unique freedom to lead assertively and maybe gently. You youth, with lack of doctrine, have a freedom to hugely propel the rest of the world towards climate recovery. And I say this because the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, we have our foot on the accelerator towards climate doom as a collective people. And maybe you folks can help break free of that. Because we're smug from the old Genesis model of we are of dominion, be fruitful, multiply, and all that stuff. And I think that's a very large foundation of a root problem myself. I'll try to see if there's anything else I really need to tell you. So to me, the key is evolving world religions away from some of these old ideas, and maybe your interfaith stuff can goose that forward. We need no more human-centric domination, no more fruitful and multiply. We need to be holistic.
Hi, my name's Alyssa, and I wanted to ask a question about resources and resource sharing as far as intergenerational support. And to give an example, I'm in Seattle, and so recently with a lot of like kayaktivists, a way that people got support from, you know, other generations and people who couldn't do the physical demonstrations was things like donating video software, obviously like donating money, donating kayaks, you know, offering to, be carpools, offering jail bail money, things like that. So I think that's another thing is thinking about what are your professional skills that you can share and offer young adult activists and resources and professional networks. Not just thinking about yourself as an individual, but your network and your professional network. So I was just wondering if y'all might want to like run down the panel real quick and give an example of the kind of, you know, skills, resources that other people could that you've either found helpful or like would be helpful in the future.
Making meals for actions. If you love to cook and can cook for large numbers of people, that is so awesome.
Jail support.
Yeah, our congregation at UU Asheville rolled an overage from their social justice fund a few years ago into a rotating bail fund. Having church-supported bail is amazing.
Technical skills and equipment, like having cameras, having people hosting space. I mean, that especially if someone is doing a brilliant action that then explodes, suddenly this group from a marginalized community can now have an immediate tech and economic crunch that there are no place to support, and a lot of UUs are in various tech jobs. And that's a really easy thing that people can often do with no real cost.
Can I answer Joel's question in three words? Give them responsibility.
I grew
up a UU, I was in LRY, and give them responsibility.
Yeah, I was actually going to add something. So, and this isn't, it wasn't directly related to like climate justice, environmental justice, because when I was 18, I mean, it wasn't as strongly on the radar, certainly not for me, and I think for most of us. My DRE asked me if I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher after I graduated from high school, and that like kept me connected and involved. And then like shortly thereafter, you know, it was clear that I was developing an interest in anti-racism work. And so like I got invited to be part of the first anti-racism transformation team at our congregation. So like find like opportunities and you know, I'm grateful to the adults who invited me into that and like asked me to participate. And not out of a tokenizing, but like, you know, my DRE knew I was good with kids and liked kids, and so she thought that'd be a great way to keep me engaged. And it was phenomenal. And then to create the space for that, you know, and I think increasingly young people, you know, especially at that bridge, are increasingly interested in environmental and climate justice just because of the awareness and where we are right now in this time and age.
I'd say the other thing is that it gave me access to mentors and elders. And that's something that radicals lack a lot in the United States because of our other general political culture. And that was really grounding on what's possible and what's doable. And learning from their errors and their successes.
Your online community says that donating legal advice, help with travel, food for activists, legal defense fund, healthcare. Tell you, your online community
yes.
is right.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you all so very much for your attention and your passion about this issue, and I look forward to more dialogue in the future. And then one last plug, please engage with young adults in your congregations and in your areas and invite people to speak to your congregations, especially if they're people of faith, and consider earmarking a donation to the Ministry for Earth for the Young Adults for Climate Justice Network. Lastly, and yeah, feel free to come up and talk to us one-on-one. Thank you very, very much for being here.